Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. We are still in our series on God and Abraham, and we have come to these verses at the end of Genesis chapter 14, in which we meet a man by the name of Melchizedek. And we are trying to answer the question, who was he? And we will have before us four options, and last time we dealt with option number one, Melchizedek was actually Shem. This is the position of the Jewish tradition. And we took this seriously, agreeing that indeed Shem was alive at the time of Abram. But we also asked several questions that suggest problems with this option. I will not take precious moments now to repeat all of that. I'm eager to get to our second option, and this one is very popular. But as always, you can easily get yesterday's broadcast as a free podcast from godisministry.org. Who was Melchizedek? Option number two. Melchizedek was only an ordinary man, a Canaanite king who ruled Salem. As mysterious as he was and is, Melchizedek was a man like any other man, and his vocation was as king of Salem, who, even though he was a Canaanite, he kept faith in the one and only God, the God of Abram. He was a worshiper of the true God, and we gather as much from Genesis chapter 14. But those who agree to this say this is all Melchizedek was, so that when Abram comes to meet him and Abram gives Melchizedek a tenth of all, that tithe we have talked about, and when Abram recognizes Melchizedek as one who is spiritually superior to Abram, a priest of God Most High, all that was is an act of respect for Melchizedek. And here, proponents of this option say Melchizedek is a title, not a personal name. A king deserves respect and honor, and so Abram gives this king his due. Think of Melchizedek as a local chieftain, head of a tribe of people, and God chose him to believe in the Lord God. The man Melchizedek does that. And so he has this in common with Abram when they meet. And the kind of submissive attitude we see in Abram is only the result of Melchizedek's role as king. But this option number two, like option number one, has problems. And let's get at these with questions. The most important one is, if Abram thought of Melchizedek as only a king to be respected, then why did Abram consider Melchizedek to be his spiritual superior? And why does Melchizedek exercise spiritual superiority over Abram? Let me remind you of this by reading from Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20, and I will comment along the way. If you have access to your Bible, join me in Genesis 14, beginning in verse 18. Genesis 14, 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. Let's pause right there. We have the acknowledgement that indeed Melchizedek was the king of Salem. But then we are told he also holds another office. He was a priest of God Most High. So Melchizedek is not only a king, he's also a priest. Picking up the reading again in verse 19. Melchizedek blessed Abram and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth." Ah, Melchizedek gives Abram a blessing from God. We also talked about this, and we said this signals that Melchizedek had spiritual authority above that of Abram. So let me insert here a thought. If Melchizedek is spiritually superior to Abram, such that he blesses him here, then surely Melchizedek is more than just an ordinary man who is king. All right, let's continue in Genesis 14 at verse 20. Melchizedek continues, "And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." So he blesses God Most High. And then Abram, quote, gave him, Melchizedek, a tenth of all. This demonstrates that in the mind and heart of Abram, he sees Melchizedek as being spiritually superior to himself. Remember what we said about this tenth? When Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth, this signaled Abram's belief that Melchizedek was his superior. Spiritually, Melchizedek is superior to Abraham. I told you you'd need to know this. Here's the principle. The lesser person tithes to the greater person. Abram the lesser gave a tenth to Melchizedek the greater. We read scripture in Hebrews chapter 7 that says this. Back to our critique of this second option in the identity of Melchizedek. If Abram thought of Melchizedek as only a king to be respected, then why did Abram consider Melchizedek to be his spiritual superior? And why does Melchizedek exercise spiritual superiority over Abram? That's our first question. Think about it. In addition to this, we ask, if God thought of Melchizedek as only a king to be respected, then how come when we read all of Scripture, much, much more is made of Melchizedek than any other ordinary man, including Abraham? Principally, when I speak of all of Scripture, I am referring to the book of Hebrews. But there is a reference to Melchizedek in the Psalms also, and we're going to come to those texts, so I will save insights for then. But there is no doubt about it. From God's perspective, Melchizedek is more than a king of Salem who greeted Abram after the War of the Kings. You can take my word for this today, and if you stick with me, you will not just have to take my word. You can take in the full word of God. There is much more to come when we get to options 3 and 4, and speaking of that, let me get this third option on your mind. Who was Melchizedek? Option number 3. Melchizedek was a real man and also a type of Jesus Christ. I'd better repeat that, then explain. Option 3. Melchizedek was a real man and also a type of Jesus Christ. It is true that option 3 is in agreement with option 2 in this respect. Melchizedek was a real historic man. He was a king and he was a priest. But option 3 adds that Melchizedek was more than that. He represents Christ, and this makes him powerful. It is likely that you want to know what I mean by type. I said Melchizedek is a type of Christ, so what is a type? And yes, that is spelled T-Y-P-E, like you type on a keyboard. I mentioned this in our introduction to Melchizedek. Exactly 2 weeks ago today, I said this. Melchizedek is well connected to Christ. At a minimum, Melchizedek was a type of Jesus Christ. What is a type? Let me quote one Bible scholar and pastor. In biblical study, a type refers to an Old Testament person, practice, or ceremony that has a counterpart, an anti-type in the New Testament. In that sense, types are predictive. The type pictures or prefigures the anti-type. The type, though it is historical, real, and of God, is nonetheless imperfect and temporary. The antitype, on the other hand, is perfect and eternal. The study of types and antitypes is called, as one might expect, typology. End of quote. In the case of Melchizedek, he is the type, and Jesus Christ is the antitype. Melchizedek pictures, he prefigures, he predicts Christ. And this makes him a wonderfully compelling figure in Genesis. Okay, that is what I said previously. Today, let me give you another clear example of type from elsewhere in the Old and New Testaments. In the book of Numbers, we read about the command of God that Moses make a fiery serpent and set that on a standard being a pole. When he did this, something remarkable would happen. Let me read Numbers chapter 21, verses 8 and 9 for you. This is Numbers 21, 8 and 9. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live." And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard, and it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. Now this seems odd to us, but that fiery or bronze serpent on the standard, the pole, was a type of Jesus Christ. Listen to me read the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and verses 14 and 15. John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life." Jesus said this. Jesus said this about himself to Nicodemus in John 3. "As the serpent was lifted high for people to see, and when they looked at it, they would live. Likewise, when Jesus was lifted high on his cross, whoever looked there and believed in Christ will also live. We have eternal life." So the Lord himself says that the bronze serpent atop the pole in Numbers chapter 21 is a type, is a picture. It prefigures Christ on the cross spoken about in John chapter 3. This is what we mean by type. This is what Jesus himself meant by type. And I will have more on this when you come back and join together with all of us. And we do so, Lord willing, tomorrow, because God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others. And be sure and join me for the next one.